Hello, good afternoon. You're listening to Verdum Sports on your Saturday afternoon. Of course you are. This is Tony Rice. We're joined on the line by a very happy, roaring cheetah. The one and a half cheetahs. They start the season 2-0. They overcome the dreaded Dreadnoughts. We're going to unpack all that. But first things first, welcome back as always. Luke Clark, how are you doing?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I am really, really well, matey. 2-0, not bad. Lots to unpack. But always, always when you're on the line, I know it's the off-season, but American football never stops, never really. An interesting article caught my eye this week. Really excited to get your take on this, which basically says, top line, Sean McVay says he over-prepared for the Super Bowl. Fascinating because, I mean, you know better than I do, and you know, I'm sure, way better than the average Joe. American football isn't a game about preparation. Going against Belichick, you got to prepare. Is there something counterintuitive about that? Or what do you think he's really driving at here?
It's an interesting one because Sean McVay is obviously one of the youngest head coaches in the NFL, if not the youngest. And he's got to show that he's proving to other teams out there, his own players, that he is capable of working hard and will work harder than the other opponents. And I think that's kind of what he's trying to say here, is that he'll always work hard and keep working harder than everyone else to make his team the best team that they could possibly be. And the Super Bowl, yes, they lost the Super Bowl, but it was a tense affair, and he can't have prepared his team much better for the Patriots offense, who scored their fewest points of the season in that game. But it's interesting to read Sean McVay's take on it, and I don't know. I think it's a word game, if I'm honest. And you can never prepare enough for any team, let alone the Patriots. And I think he should just keep preparing as much as he has done, because it seems to be working, and they've got his youngish team to the Super Bowl this year.
They're certainly going to be one of those teams to watch. There's sometimes almost a weird sort of post-Super Bowl malaise for some sides. Obviously, not something that's ever afflicted the dynasty that is the Pats. Do you think there's a possibility, just in the sort of copycat nature of the league, so many high-flying, sort of high-octane offences, so many hopeful teams through the draft, in expectation, line and wait, that there could be a bit of a fall-off year for McVay in his very early coaching kind of career?
There could be. There's always seems to be a Super Bowl hangover, as they call it. The Atlanta Falcons have had it for the last two seasons since they got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did have a year where they had a bit of a slump. But this Rams team is young. They're hungry. They're exciting to watch. Jared Goff leading the offense. You know, you can't find a much better young quarterback in the NFL. You know, the defense led by the MVP, Aaron Donald. You know, it's young, it's exciting, it's hungry. So if anyone can bounce back and get back to the Super Bowl, I think this year it'll be the Rams. And it's going to be an interesting year anyway, because there's lots of NFC teams going for the title. It'll be interesting to see how the Giants do, if they keep Eli Manning at number one quarterback, or whether they move on, and you know, whether the San Francisco 49ers, who obviously your 49ers, who drafted Nick Bosa, see if they can step up this year.
But Bosa at two. Garoppolo's coming back. Come on, the Niners.
I think Garoppolo is the glue that holds that team together. He seems to be the spark the offense need. And you know, I think the Patriots lost the trick with him, really. And, you know, keeping Brady, although you can't count against Brady ever. But Garoppolo seems to be the real deal. And, you know, the 49ers, they have a real shot this year. And, you know, as do teams like the Seattle Seahawks, who have been in a bit of a slump, I think they can bounce back this year as well. So it should be an exciting season. The NFC seems to be more exciting than the AFC at the moment, although Pittsburgh seems to be on a downward spiral, having lost Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. But even so, it's going to be an exciting season, I'm sure.
Do you know what, though? In all of sports last year, in all of sports, I think that Garoppolo choice to maybe make an extra half a yard when it was just not necessary was one of the most boneheaded I've seen in all of sports. Obviously, it afflicted the Niners big. They showed signs of bouncing back towards the end. I'm, as you can clearly hear right now, like most football fans, full of the optimism of the off-season. But yeah. I really hope As you say, his talent's now beyond dispute, but I hope his acumen, his football IQ we talk about a lot, will have lifted by recognising that that was, you know, there's something to be said for leading from the front. I've never fault people, you know, going for things, but that was just, you're never going to gain anything if you look at that on tape. He must look back on that moment and just think, ah, that was a bad choice, not smart.
Absolutely. And, you know, we preach at the cheaters, and I'm sure the teams in the NFL preach the same thing. Take what you're given. Don't try and take anything more, because there's always going to be holes in a defense. And if you can find those holes and exploit those holes and take those holes, then more than likely you're going to win a game. And the same can be said for Garoppolo. You know, he should have stepped out of bounds maybe, and, you know, or done a slide and kept his body intact. But, you know, it's one of those learning curves for a young player as well. You know, every NFL team has it. Every young quarterback has it. It's a bit of excitement. They want to go for it. They see themselves being a superstar. And sometimes you've got to take a step back and realise, actually, you know, the best option here is to, you know, is to go down, take what I'm given, throw the ball away if you have to, rather than throwing an interception. And the aim of the game is to always end every drive with a kick, whether that be a field goal, whether that be an extra point attempt, or whether that be a punt. Always end a drive with a kick. So, you know, yes, I think he will learn from that, and his team will learn from that, and I'm sure he'll be a better leader for it. And I can't wait to see the 49ers offense. I think there's going to be an exciting year for them, and, you know, that with their defense being more and more shored up every year with better and better draft picks, it should be a young and exciting 49ers team moving forward.
I've got to tell you, Luke, loving those thoughts. I really, really am. And I'm ever the optimist. But as I say, at this moment in time, everybody thinks with just one or two things going their way, such is the nature of the any given Sunday world of the NFL, that everybody's got a dream and a hope at this particular moment. We'll begin to build it up as we progress towards the NFL returning. Just super quick before we drill into the mighty Cheetahs, starting 2-0. That's the way to go. One final quick question, though, NFL-wise. We've been speaking about McVay. We've obviously, therefore, touched on Goff at one end of his career. Garoppolo, again, at that other early fledgling phases of their QB careers. I want to quickly talk on, MVP Breeze. What a standout year. A la Brady seems to get better with age. But we talk windows of opportunities to win bowls. He's got one ring. Do you think his window of opportunity is sort of almost reaching now or never situation? And how will the Saints be impacted, do you think, with the impact on Peyton's potential touchline ban throughout the campaign?
Yeah, I think the Saints are a funny team. They seem to have a really good year and then seem to have a really bad year. The Saints have got a really young team and they're really exciting. But I think the biggest loss for the Saints this year, let's put aside Peyton's sideline antics and, you know, move away from that. But I think the Saints' biggest thing is that they've lost Mark Ingram,
yes.
Which means they don't have that 1-2 punch in the backfield anymore. And, you know, the Ravens have picked up an absolute superstar there, and, you know, I'm sure that'll help bolster the Ravens team. But
suits Ravens ball to the tee, though, doesn't he, really, you know?
Yeah, it's smash mouth football in Baltimore and has been since the Brian Billick days of the Super Bowl winning 2000 championship team. And, you know, that's the nature of the division the Ravens are in, with the Steelers and the Browns and the Bengals. They're all teams that like to run the ball and throw the ball deep. And, you know, it's a run-and-gun offense or a West Coast offense in that division. So it's interesting to see, you know, Baltimore pick up such a good running back. And I think that will really hurt the Saints. You know, they've got talent all over the field. Hill, the backup quarterback, who tends to come in on fourth down and make punts into first downs and various other bits. He's a talent, and I don't think the Saints would be that much impacted. I think you're right about quarterbacks. They're like a fine wine. They always seem to get better with age, and Drew Brees is no exception to that. And I'm sure he'll be able to pass and keep his accuracy up as he has done the last few years, and keep those Saints teams going. And the young defense, as it is, especially at the back end with their defensive backs, they'll be hungry, and I think they'll be hungry for more than what they had this year. And they had a chance to get to the Super Bowl this year, and, you know, unfortunately, they say the refs made the bad call, but it's one of those things, and, you know, you've got to bounce back from that, and like I said, not have a hangover from the year before, and look to push on this year and I think the Saints are one of those teams that will.
Absolutely. And pushing on this year are our own Hertfordshire Cheetahs. We mentioned it was the homecoming game, last time out, in front of a lot of alumni, in front of what I'm sure was a carnival atmosphere, against those dreaded Dreadnoughts, the team we'd love to hate, 2-0, winning ugly. And, you know, that's actually the emblem of any good sporting culture across all sports.
Absolutely. You know, it was a really tough game. We had quite a few key losses from the offensive side and the defensive side, and the young guys stepped in and absolutely delivered on Sunday. And credit has to go to some of the guys that have not seen a lot of game time in the last few years, but have stepped up and forced their way into the starting lineup. And it's hard to look beyond them now going forward. We've got our next game against Sussex this weekend, and hopefully we'll go 3-0, although this again is another really, really tough fixture. But to come through the Portsmouth game with a win was absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, the sideline erupted at the end of the game when their final whistle was blown. And, you know, it is a party atmosphere, and not just for the players, but also for the fans. And it was a great experience to see us win. And, you know, all of our programmes are doing really well at the moment. Our flag program's doing really well. Our women's program are in the off-season. And our junior team and youth team are both undefeated as well. So the sky's the limit for everyone at the Cheetahs at the moment. And we're really excited to see where this season takes us.
I tell you what, 3-0 there for the Cheetahs. Again, just a reflection, not just there, but for the guys coming in as part of a squad. That's the family ethos that you embrace, that you inculcate. And it's what stood you in good stead through all the ups and downs, as you now ride momentum incredibly powerfully and are truly one of the most powerful sporting institutions here in St Albans and indeed beyond. What's up next?
So we've got Sussex, which is our next home game. Our next away game. And that's this Sunday, and then we've got a couple of weeks off before we face off against Oxford. And Sussex are a really, really good team. They're a Division 1 team and have been for the last few years, pushing for the playoffs and in the playoffs most seasons. So this is going to be another step up from what we faced so far this season. We're expecting a really, really tough game, and we've just got to play smart football and hope that, you know, the smarts and our high quality of players that has played out so far this season continues into the next game, and we ride that wave through the season. So, you know, we're really excited for this weekend. It's another challenge, another step up, and if we can meet that challenge head on, as we always tend to do, then it should be a cracking game.
I'll tell you what, you always seek these kind of barometers of where you're at, don't you? We talk in jest about the dreaded Dreadnoughts, and I know they were circled. But then, like you say, when you take on a perennial sort of Division 1 contender, and obviously that's now where you're at, it gives you a good sense of just how far down the road you are and what will come. Really excited for this, Luke. Tell us how we can learn more.
Yeah, so you can check us out on our website, which is www.hertfordshirecheetahs.com, and on Facebook. We're also on an app called ScoreStream, so you can keep up to date with the game if you can't make it down to Sussex this weekend. And, you know, it's a Brighton home game as well. So, and Manchester City is, I'm sure, Premiership King-elect carnival atmosphere. So if you can't make the game, then keep up to date with ScoreStream, where you can follow us every snap of the way.
Hey, lovely. And, of course, we're going to follow you every step of the way here on Verulam Sports. Check out that app, ScoreStream. Find the Cheetahs across all forms of social media. And I'll tell you what, get down to the home games. It's a carnival atmosphere. There's a lot of fun. They're really great guys. We are always honoured and privileged to keep in the loop, in the huddle with the Cheetahs. And as always, from me and all at Verulam Sports, Luke, have a really good weekend, and I wish you well for the game.
Thanks, Tony.
As always, a big pleasure. Thanks a million.